partly there's the fact that they've now been, in a sense, stigmatised in the area as fruit pickers, so it's quite hard for them to break out of that and get other work. They have to then finance themselves through some form of education and get access to other work. But it's also because the seasonal work that they do still has some benefits for them in terms of they've got relationships with farmers that they might have had over a number of years, so they can show up to the farm and get their work when the crops are ready for harvesting or other work.
How does this impact people's ability to achieve upward mobility? Not only this, you know, reliance on farm work, but also this feeling of being an overlooked part of the regional community.
Well, I think that those two things go together, because if there's any attention paid to them, it really is as just fruit pickers. They're not being given many opportunities to improve their situation. They sometimes describe themselves as falling in between the cracks. So there's a lot of attention given to the Indigenous community up around that area, a lot of attention given to the new arrivals, particularly refugees. However, the permanent resident Pacific people there are not really being targeted with any kind of support programs or anything that's going to help them to get out of that precarious situation of just relying on that seasonal work.
The research mentions that participants were especially concerned that not much is happening to improve the situation. What concern did they have for their kids?
They would like to see their children not have to follow them and working in this very arduous physical labour in the horticultural industries, but they don't really see many other options. So it's about presenting what the other options are, making those options more readily available for them. So they would need some kind of mentoring and support to look into those other options. I'm not saying all of them do that. There are certainly some who have moved into other areas, but often what they have to do is move away from home into one of the big cities to pursue education. It would be great for them to be encouraged to be able to stay near their family but still be able to do something else.
So what can be done to address these concerns and, I guess, ultimately better support Pacific communities in regional Australia?
There's already really good support services there, but they can only cope so much, and they have now been overwhelmed by the influx of refugees who need particular kinds of support. So again, Pacific people have tended to be kind of pushed aside a little bit. So making sure that there's enough funding for community organisations to really be effective would probably be one of the main ways of improving things, because then they can set up things like youth groups and youth support and so on to really help young people see what their options are and support them on their journeys to different kinds of careers.
Why do you think Pacific Islanders in remote areas have had such a different experience to their European counterparts who came to Australia around the same time?
I think there's a fairly straightforward answer to that, and that is remittances. So the European and Greek primarily migrants into that area after World War II have been able to buy land, they've been able to set up farms, and they're now very often the farmers who the Pacific people are working for. Whereas the Pacific populations in that area, as in elsewhere in Australia, are working primarily to earn money to send back to their homeland, to their families at home, and support them. So they're not really saving money, and they haven't been able to get into a position where they can be the ones buying land, where they can be setting up their own farms and so on. There are a few who've done that and who've been very successful. However, the majority of them haven't really done that because of their very heavy obligations to family, to church, and to their wider community at home.